Oh, snap.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Hi, everybody. It's Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the top dog at Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. Hey, go to my website, Raw Dog Food and Company. Sign up for our webinars and all of our great sales. We now ship to states all across the country. So if you want our food, by golly, you can have it. Just go sign up at my website. You see this little red box. It will come over and you're just going to sign up there because we're going to have lots of webinars coming up with one of our favorite vets, Dr. Judy Jasek, who's on the show with us today. If you want to work with Dr. Jasek, you can find her at drjudyholisticvet.com, or an easier one is cancer-vet.com. All right, so now you know how to reach us. Look at my feeding chart and facts page while you're there, because there's a lot of information there, especially information on why does raw dog food, pure raw dog food like ours, have the label for intermittent feeding only. Now, today I almost had a woman throw away the food. She thought it was not for feeding. I was like, no. Hang on. You got to understand why we have this label. It has everything to do with AAFCO, and they require their dead, dry kibble food to have lots and lots of vitamins, synthetic vitamins and minerals added to the food. And because we don't adhere to that, because we are a pure, raw, nothing added, zero zip, not a company, we have to have for intermittent feeding only. You're going to see some articles out there from vets who want to try to scare you away with that little labeling. But if you go to my site, you've got a lot to learn about why we put that on there. And I think you're going to love it once you read it. So go to the Feeding Chart and Facts page, scroll down, and read why supplemental feeding only. Right there at Raw Dog Food and Company. Dr. Judy Jasek, the holistic vet, the cancer prevention vet. She is back with us again today. And we're going to be talking about fat and vitamin D. Okay, because Dr. Jasek, you've talked to me about this a lot, that you see a lot of patients coming in with a low level of vitamin D. So let's help our listeners understand first what vitamin D does for our pets and why they need it and where they have to get it.
So vitamin D, actually, you know, we call it a vitamin in the body. It actually acts a bit more like a hormone. It's very, very important for regulating the immune system, the endocrine system, and for promoting cellular health in general. So anytime we have chronic inflammation anywhere in the body, whether it is itchy skin or intestinal issues or chronic ear infections or more advanced inflammatory states such as cancer, a low vitamin D can definitely be a contributing factor, not necessarily the only factor that's involved, but it can definitely be contributing, and it definitely slows the healing ability of the body. So I have been checking whenever I see, you know, chronic inflammation, especially in my cancer patients, I'm just encouraging more and more people to check vitamin D. And I've been surprised actually at how many are coming back low. And it's such an easy thing to correct. I use a liquid vitamin D supplement that's very easy to give the pet, and it's so easy to correct. You know, it's important to not just go out and buy the vitamin D supplement and start your pet on it just to see if it helps, because vitamin D is fat soluble. It does accumulate in the body, and you can create toxicity if if you give too much, as evidenced by the recent food recall from the Hill's company that had over-supplemented the food. So it's really essential, but it's also really important that your pet stays at the correct level.
I want to ask you about this, because we know that sardines, being a whole food, contains 23 IUs for a small sardine, okay? So when we recommend omega-3s, we do recommend the sardines, but these also have a good amount of vitamin D. Let me ask you, how do our pet parents judge how much vitamin D would be too much if we're doing it in a whole food like sardines?
Well, again, you got to measure the level. You really need to do the blood test, because every pet is going to be a little bit different. Their needs are going to be a little bit different, and they absorb it differently. Like I know in people, just in my like own household here, like I get my vitamin D levels checked. My husband has to take like twice as much as I do to keep his levels up. And it's because it's absorbed differently. And, you know, we're people, but it's the same principle in pets. What the ultimate blood level is for a certain amount of food ingested is going to be different for every individual. And I'm a total proponent of getting the vitamins and minerals from whole foods if possible. So if a pet is eating a raw food diet, they're getting the sardines, and we check a vitamin D and they're good, then we're good. I think that's actually the way that they are meant to get those nutrients. Plus, in the whole food form, there's always synergistic nutrients. So there's other vitamins, minerals, hormones that they are getting in those whole foods that help with the absorption and the action of the vitamin D in the body. So there's really it's easy to pick apart and say, oh, well, we need more D or E or, you know, certain type of fatty acid. All those things are important, but they're also meant to be taken in the whole food form, and they act together in the body, and they work best when they're with their, you know, their nutrient buddies, so to speak, because this is the way nature intended for these things to be ingested.
Let me ask you this. Here's typically, and again, we don't have any real measurements, and you're saying that all dogs are different, but would we be safe in this recommendation? If your dog, say, is eating, I'm going to round this out, 10 ounces per meal, all right? That's what my German Shepherd eats. Believe it or not, she's 75 pounds, but for her, she eats more like a 50-pound dog. She's almost 10. She's not that active. She's, you know, she just likes to sit around and look pretty. And she is beautiful. But so if she's getting 20 ounces of food a day, our typical recommendation in the fish category is 20 ounces a week. We're saying, look, you at least need to do 20 ounces over the entire week of fish. Do you think that we're pretty safe in saying that?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that's reasonable. And I think it's also much harder or much less likely to get into a toxicity issue when you're feeding the whole food, because the body is, again, absorbing it in a natural form. And the body has checks and balances. I think when you feed whole foods, if we get a little, you know, too much, and because they're ingesting things like the vitamin D along with these other nutrients, the body has a lot of systems of checks and balances, and it's going to balance that out. And especially, you know, if you vary it, like I think it's a good idea, and I think you recommend this too, like, you know, mix it up a little bit, feed a certain amount per week, but don't feed it maybe every single meal, or, you know, sometimes feed more, give them a big dose and then and then back off. So that gives the body a chance to readjust, as opposed to just giving a supplement every day, especially if you don't know where their levels are at. I think the risk of getting into a toxicity situation is much greater with the, you know, when you're just giving the straight vitamin D supplement.
I think there are some folks out there that are well-meaning in the raw feeding world, but there is this fear that they've ignited in pet parents that says there are major holes in the nutritional values in the raw diet. So what people try to do is they try to throw everything in the kitchen sink at the dog, which is what you're saying. Look, we don't need to over supplement the dogs, but if you vary the diet. So with our pet parents, we really try to get them to run through every model. Okay. That means the prey model, which typically has 10% bone, 10% organ, around 10 to 12% fat. But then to some weeks, some days, you want to go into a PMR model where we have 15% organ, 15% bone, or even the HVMs where they do have 10% fruits and veggies. As long as we don't have a dog that, you know, is a cancer dog or something like that, that we need to pull all the carbohydrates out of the animal. But what would you say, Dr. Jasek, about these perceived holes in the raw diet, real or imagined?
Well, I think that comes down to how are you feeding raw? I think raw can absolutely be fed in such a way that it's nutritionally complete and we don't need supplementation. But, you know, everybody's idea of feeding raw is different, or there's a lot of, you know, a lot of different opinions out there on how to appropriately feed raw. And I think where you might end up missing vital nutrients is we're not getting that variety. You know, you're not mixing up the protein. So there's going to be a little bit different nutritional content in, say, poultry versus beef versus rabbit versus pork. And the more you mix those up, you're going to get those other nutrients. And I think it's also really important to get as many of these different body parts. You know, there's nutrition in everything. And, you know, sometimes in some, you know, raw models, they'll throw a little liver and kidney in and with a bunch of, you know, muscle meat and say, okay, well, this is balanced. And it's really not. I think adding in more components like, you know, the spleen, the pancreas, the, you know, the tripe, which is the stomach. And, you know, it's a little kind of, you know, gross to think about, but the brains and the eyes and all that, all of those different things have nutritional components. So I don't think it's that raw food is deficient. It's that in some models and some products, they're not getting all of those different elements that will create that complete nutrition. But I absolutely believe that it's possible to create that model. That's what they're meant to eat, but they're meant to eat all of the components in the prey. If you think of if a dog were, say, to go out and kill a rabbit and eat it, well, they're eating everything. They're eating all the organs. They're eating the skin. They're eating the fur. Fur is a very high manganese content, one of the highest. That's like the biggest source of manganese in like a prey animal. And so you could be missing some trace minerals if they're not getting enough of those components. So the formulation is extremely important. So how raw is fed is extremely important.
Right. And beef tripe, beef tripe is very high in manganese as well, almost triple what AAFCO's exaggerated minimum is. So that's, and it's in a whole food form. So that's awesome. But yes, the fur in the rabbit. So we have rabbit with fur and we have rabbit without fur. Some of our pet parents don't like that fur in there, but as you just stated, it's very good for the dogs. And if they were in the wild, they'd be eating the fur anyway. In the rabbit, we do have the eyeballs, we have the brain. So that's a great component. And then in some of the organs, the standalone organs, there are different bits and organs in there. One thing about the pancreas that you see is that pancreas goes bad very quickly. So that's a tough one in the raw feeding world, especially for, you know, suppliers like myself. Pancreas can go bad very fast. So that is definitely a tough one. But if you, you know, run through all these different models, I think, you know, you, like you said, you are getting those extra components and throw in some bison testicles every now and then. We have those, you know, we have the bison testicles. We have the raw trachea now and duck feet, got those for great glucosamine, chondroitin. So there's all these different components that I think that you can add to and not get lulled again by this complete imbalanced. I think when we say complete imbalanced, I've said this many times, people tend to think, I don't have to think anymore. I can just feed my dog the exact same thing every single day, you know, for its life. And trust me, I do see this in some of my customer base, and I'm just waiting for that day when they come back and say, my dog's not doing well on the raw. And I can say, it's not that he's not doing well on the raw, he's not doing well with the lack of variety, right? So this is the case. Now, in addition to vitamin D, I know that you're a big proponent of animal fat, of fat in the diet. Now, we have many, many pet parents. Fat scares them. They'll text me and say, hey, I need a low fat. And I'm like, why do you need a low fat? You know, because my dog has, you know, irritable bowel syndrome. We talked about that on the last podcast. Or they'll say, I don't want to cause pancreatitis in my dog. So talk to us about your love of fat.
Yeah, so fat has some amazing nutritional benefits. And this is a huge paradigm shift. It was for me, too, because our culture has, you know, programmed us to believe that fat's bad. Everything has to be low fat, low fat, low fat. And in pets, it's, oh yeah, fat is going to cause pancreatitis. So it's not the fat, it's the unhealthy fats that can cause a problem. And so fat, first of all, needs to be well sourced, just like any other ingredient. If you are getting fat from a factory farmed animal, it is going to be toxic. It's going to be very high in your omega-6. The omega-6 to omega-3 balance is going to be way off. And when you have way too much omega-6 in contrast to the omega-3, that's inflammatory. That just perpetuates inflammation. And this is part of the reason why eating meat in people has been vilified and eating fat has been vilified, because these fats are unhealthy and they're inflammatory. And can those fats lead to, you know, problems like in people, heart disease, or probably could even contribute to something like pancreatitis in pets? But if you take fat from a, like, say, grass-fed cattle, animals that are in their natural environment where they're meant to eat, the nutritional profile of that fat is completely different. And fat is a natural fuel. Our cell membranes are made up of fat. If you have enough fat in your diet, your cells in your body, and this is us and pets, are not going to be healthy. And, you know, within that cell membrane is also the communication mechanism. So the cells are not able to communicate effectively with each other. Our brain cells, when you start talking dementia in people and dementia in pets, and neurologic issues. The whole central nervous system has a very, very, very high fat content. If you ever, you know, saw an actual brain out of an animal, it's very like fatty and oily. It's all fat. And if you're not getting the appropriate fat in the diet to support that central nervous system, you're going to have, you know, all kinds of things. You think about our pets that seizure, vestibular disease. I never see vestibular disease. Now I see it, hear about it all the time. And that's, you know, for people that aren't aware, is an essentially an inner ear issue where the pet loses the ability to balance. The vestibular system keeps the pet balanced. But you need these nutritional components to keep all of the central nervous system healthy. And fat is a very natural and very efficient fuel. So when you train the cells in the body to use fat, they actually can burn fat much more efficiently. It's like I've been much more efficiently than carbohydrate in the diet. And I've heard the analogy said, and I like this, you know, using fat as an energy source is like putting a oak wood log on your fire, because it's the sustained lasting energy source. Using carbohydrates is like throwing a bunch of kindling on there, where you get this really fast burn, your glucose goes up, and then it drops back down. And that is much harder on the body. In my cancer patients, when we train the body to burn fat instead of glucose, we are literally starving the cancer cells, because cancer cells cannot use fat as a fuel. And so when we train the body to use fat as a fuel instead of the glucose that comes from the carbohydrates, then we are literally removing the fuel source from the cancer cells. The other thing about fat is that there are nutrients in there that are not found elsewhere in the body and in the correct association. So fat does have a good amount of vitamin D. It also has vitamin A in the form of retinol. So this is not the same as your beta carotene that you get in your orange vegetables, like carrots. And also vitamin K2, which is not very well recognized as an essential nutrient. But these nutrients are extremely important in the body, and they work together. This is a great example. If you have these three nutrients together, they work synergistically. So having them together, they accentuate the effects of the others. And so it's really important. So it's not just that, you know, fat, you know, even beyond, you know, changing over to a ketogenic metabolism, which is very healthy for the cells in the body, there's a lot of really great nutrition in fat, but you really have to be very careful about where the fat comes from. And animal source fat is really important. You can't just go dump a bunch of coconut oil in the diet and say, okay, you know, I'm eating fat. Coconut oil is convenient and it's cheap, and it's okay to give a little bit of that, but that does not have the nutrient content of saturated animal fat, and you're not going to get the benefits as you would if you also integrate some animal fat into the diet.
Which leads me to this next question. So when you look at a prey model, typically your 10% by weight is going to equal about 30% of that diet is going to be coming from fat. Okay. We do have some higher fat blends that are double that. Okay. So 20% by weight going to take you up into that 60% fat category. Now, some of our breeds out there, the Vizsla breeds, the really high working dogs that are going on 50 miles a week runs with their owners. How do you feel about them? So they have a hard time keeping weight on their dogs. We have this higher fat blend, and we see them using this a lot. But the question is, How long can you use a high fat blend like that? Because when you are utilizing a high fat blend, then you're reducing, you know, the actual protein in the diet. So help us make sense of that combination.
Well, I think first of all, again, we need to look at the individual animal and how are they doing on the diet. You know, if they're very active and they're on, you know, a certain diet and they're losing weight, you know, so the protein is essential for proper muscle development if they're very, very, very active dogs, as opposed to a pet dog that is much more sedentary, just goes for their 20-minute walk every day. So if the animal's not holding their weight, then obviously we need to take a look and see what may or may not be going on here. And again, I think for most healthy dogs, that the rotation is going to be a good answer to that question. Like, let's give them a little bit of extra fat, but they don't maybe need that extra fat every day. Now, if I have a cancer patient, yeah, I'm going to be pushing that high fat diet. And then, you know, on a consistent basis, and then if things stabilize, then, you know, maybe we can talk about doing some different rotations. But initially, I'm going to be keeping them on that high-fat diet. Or a seizure patient, let's get them on that high-fat diet, see if we can maybe get them off of anticonvulsants, if they're on anticonvulsants. You know, we look at what's going on with the patient at that point in time. But is eating, you know, 60% fat every single meal good? Again, it comes back to this sort of paradigm that I need the diet for my pet. I need the right diet for my pet, and that's what I'm going to feed every single meal. And that's not the way they're meant to eat. I think your average, like, healthy pet probably, you know, again, as long as their digestive tract could tolerate it, you feed, like, you know, a few high-fat meals a week, and then you intersperse that with, you know, some that are higher in protein or higher in tripe or higher in the fish, so that fish, you know, is such a great anti-inflammatory. If they're out really exercising a lot, that's going to help, you know, reduce that the inflammation in their muscles afterwards. So I think, again, the rotational concept, I think, is really valuable, in addition to looking at how is that pet doing? Like, how is the pet doing on that diet, and what other, you know, medical concerns do we have going on? Because the ketogenic diet, you know, can definitely be used therapeutically, but we're using that therapeutically instead of, you know, medication. We're pushing the body's metabolism in a certain direction to eliminate the need for outside, you know, medications, which is hugely valuable. But it should always be done. That type of thing should definitely be done with medical supervision.
Agree. And if you want to work with Dr. Jasek, Dr. Judy Jasek, the holistic vet, the cancer prevention vet, as I call her, you can find her at cancer-vet.org, right? .org?
Or is it? .com.
.com. Okay. I'm getting my dots mixed up. It's like cancer-vet.com. And you can do a phone consultation and she can really help you. And I think what another valuable service that you really provide, Dr. Jasek, is you're this liaison between our pet parents who are really wanting to go more holistic. They understand what we've been talking about. They understand that these prescription diets, any kibble diets, any canned diets are really inferior to a whole raw fresh food diet. However, they may have a vet that doesn't really understand it. And there is no way, you guys, that you're going to be able to supplement your way out of a bad diet. That just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You've got to think about this. Can I eat donuts, pancakes, waffles, ice cream every day of my life and just take a bunch of supplements? That is not going to work. The foundation is your diet first. And so we want to be able to help you help your vet. So I think that that's what Dr. Jasek is really good at. And certainly, there's a different way to look at blood values, and we're going to get into this later in another podcast, but blood values from dogs that are on a raw diet and kidney issues and liver issues that may not really be a kidney or a liver issue, but it may look like that. So anyway, all I'm saying is that Dr. Jasek can really help you be confident in working with your current vet. And so get in touch with her. You can find her at cancer-vet.com or Dr. Judy Holistic Vet.com. Did I get that right?
Right. Yep. Gosh,
what is the matter with me?
Good I
can't. Yay! You think I would write that down. So if you have a cancer patient, let me just tie all this together for a second. When pet parents think about doing the raw diet, it frightens them a little bit, obviously, just from other components, but from the standpoint of what we're talking about today, I hear, well, I want to make sure that my dog's getting all the vitamins and nutrition that they need. So that frightens them. Mm-hmm. And what gives them some comfort in the kibble world, Dr. Jasek, is all of these vitamins and minerals that are listed on the back and the fact that they can use complete and nutritious on the bag. Or complete and balanced on the bag or approved by AAFCO. But if your dog has cancer or you want to prevent cancer, again, this is a little bit misleading for our pet parents to think that that is a complete and balanced diet. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, it's very misleading because, you know, basically, you know, you take your average dry food and they take ingredients and some of them don't even start with good ingredients. Some start with better ingredients, but then they're processed at such high temperatures. You're literally processing all of the good nutrition out, which is evidenced by the fact that it can sit on the shelf and not spoil. There is no real food in this product because it's stable at room temperature. If there was any biologic activity in that at all, it would spoil. So you know that all of the whole food nutrition has really been cooked out of it. And then they literally take a synthetic vitamin and mineral supplement and spray it back on the food. And so, you know, you're looking at numbers. You are looking at, okay, there's this many, you know, units of, or micrograms, or however the individual nutrient is measured in this food. But what you don't know is how is that showing up in the pet's body? A, you don't even know if it's going to be absorbed. Can the cells use the synthetic vitamins? I mean, these are not vitamins and minerals in their natural form. Most of the time, they're synthetic. They're manufactured. So the body sometimes doesn't even know what to do with them. They can't be properly assimilated into the cells. When you use whole food nutrition, you are getting the nutrients in their natural form, the way the body was meant to digest and assimilate them. So you can't just look at the numbers. The numbers are on the bag and the claims on the bag are marketing. They really are. They're put out there so that you're going to grab bag A over bag B. It's a marketing game that's targeted at the human and at your emotional response. Oh, that's, boy, that picture of those ingredients on that bag, that looks really great. I want to buy that for my dog. Or it's got this, you know, all natural claim, which means absolutely nothing. Or it's AFCO approved. All that stuff you see on the bag, it's marketing. It's not nutrition.
It blows my mind that an organization like AFCO, okay, can get away with what they get away with. If they know, and they know that these foods are not optimal for dogs, but we've got this group of people that come together and say, well, this is our approval. This is our stamp. This is the benchmark. How in the world do they get away with that without there being a giant? And I'm not talking about just when you've got a vitamin D toxicity issue. How is there not a giant class action lawsuit against these type of rules and regulations? I don't understand that. Do you?
Well, it's, you know, when things don't make sense, I always say follow the money. And there is a lot of money in the pet food industry. And you know, a lot of people probably don't realize that most of the commercial pet food industry is owned by, there's only a couple big corporations that really own the whole industry. You've got like Mars, Colgate Palmolive, I think Nestle may be in there. There's only a couple of big corporations that own all these other companies are owned by these giant corporate conglomerates. And what are they interested in? They are looking at their bottom line. And do you think they're not maybe giving a financial incentive to organizations like AFCO? I do. I can't prove that. But when things don't make sense, I always believe you follow the money. And the other thing about AFCO, you know, people see that on bags and that looks great, but they're not a regulatory agency. All they're doing is making recommendations. It's still up to the companies to follow their recommendations. So they're just saying, yeah, this is a good idea. But there's very little actual regulation. People think, well, somebody's got to be checking to make sure these foods are safe. I mean, they're not. I mean, look at the fact that this was a while ago, I don't know, maybe 18 months ago, there was a thing about they were finding pentobarbital in pet food, which is in the solution used to euthanize animals. So guess what? They were using euthanized dogs and cats in the pet food, you know? I mean, stuff like that. But, like, people, there's nobody really looking at what's going on. And the other thing about AFCO is it is so minimal. The AFCO standards, the levels of the nutrients that AFCO says is appropriate is minimal. So you have to think about, do you want your pet to be getting bare minimum baseline nutrition that perhaps they can survive on, but they're likely to get some disease such as cancer or, you know, skin disease or inflammatory bowel disease or some disease of inflammation in the body because they're only getting this minimal baseline nutrition that may keep them alive, but they aren't going to thrive and they're likely going to become ill. What we're talking about here with raw nutrition and getting these diets balanced, we're talking about pets that are thriving and we're talking about optimal nutrition. We want pets to be as healthy as absolutely possible. And that's a huge, huge difference. And you can see the difference in the pets. And I have seen the difference in my own practice. Like I said before, I've practiced both ways. I got out of vet school recommending the, you know, prescription diets, just like all veterinarians are trained to do. And I've done this transition in my own practice to feeding, you know, better dried and canned foods. And now I encourage everybody to be on a raw diet. And I see the difference. I see, you know, my cancer patients, I ran into one of my cancer patients a couple weeks ago out on the hiking trail. Dog is just out there having a blast, loving life. I mean, you know, that's what I'm looking for. And these particular, you know, pet parents are just, they are following all these recommendations to the T, and their pet isn't just surviving. Their pet is thriving. It's loving life. They're out hiking 6-8 miles on the weekends with their little dog. We don't even talk about, you know, the big C because the dog is doing great. We don't even mention it. Dog doesn't know he's sick. He's out there thriving and enjoying life. There'd be no way I could accomplish that with any kind of dry food. But that's the difference. And that's what we're striving for.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble and where your pet's health is our business.